Goedenavond luisteraars, u luistert naar de uitzending van Joshua Radio in de zendtijd van Radio Stefania. Machtige Israëls, geloof en geprezen zij uw naam. U bent hoog verheven, maar u kunt ook zeer laag neerzien. Dank u, Heere, mijn God, voor uw almacht, voor uw goede tierenheid. Dank u wel, Heere, voor de afgelopen dag. Dank u voor deze avond. En wilt u deze uitzending zegenen, Heere, in Jezus' machtige naam. Amen. Telefoonnummer is 020-672-25-32. 020-672-25-32. is Joshua, Gospel Spotlight. In de zendtijd van Radio Sefania. nobody like Jesus. Thank you.
Come on, declare.
Hallelujah. Yes. Once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, because people are listening worldwide. And right now we have Pastor Darlene from America. Pastor Darlene.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Just tell me from which part of America you are.
I am presently in Iowa.
Iowa, okay. Praise God. Well, we know each other a couple years now.
Yes.
Because you were stationed in Germany at a church there, and also you came to Amsterdam and blessed us here in Amsterdam. We thank God for the friendship and what we have for so long, and we're gonna keep on going because we are children of the living God.
Amen.
And today, right now, you're gonna bless us and the audience with a word. And I'm gonna give you the mic now.
Okay, you're pretty good at that, Pastor, passing the mic. You don't have a problem with that.
No.
Okay. Well, hello everyone. And as he's already said, my name is Darlene Williams. He's already stated about our relationship and knowing each other for some time. I think from the day we met, we have a saying in America, I don't know if you guys say this in Amsterdam, but we call it bosom buddies.
So amen, amen.
We became bosom buddies from day one. You know, he became my brother, amen. And I became his sister.
Yes.
And so I'm encouraged today to have the opportunity to share the word with you. You know, I'll just share some of what God has been sharing with me and where I've been kind of studying from and what's been keeping me. You know, we look for the big hypes and we look for, you know, always to have a powerful wow word. But what I'm starting to realize now is it's not so much a wow word that we need to look for, but we need to look for a daily word.
Yes.
And that's very key, because the daily word is the word that gives us strength. I like what Matthew 6:11 says, because here he's giving us the motto of how we should pray our Father's prayer. Yes. And he's teaching us to pray. But in the middle of him teaching us to pray, he specifically points out to us that we should pray our daily bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. And so he's referring to our provision. He's asking us that we have to learn how to ask God for our provision. So every day God has something for you. And if you don't get to ask God for it, then you're going to miss the opportunity to be able to get what God has for you. And that is your daily portion in the land of the living. Imagine skipping a meal. Imagine that you were too busy to eat, and you just simply forgot to stop and forgot to eat. And so what does it do? It affects you. It affects your strength. It affects sometimes you get headaches, you start to feel weak. God knows we get irritable, a little bit miserable, and sometimes we're tired because we went without food. We needed some proper nutrients in our bodies to have a proper function. But instead, we decided we were going to skip that because I'll get to it later. And that's the same way and the same scenario in the Word of God. And we have to understand that in the Word of God, or when Jesus says to us that he's asking us to ask God daily, because he's telling you that if you eat of the Word, you're going to be strengthened. There's something that's going to happen to you spiritually when you eat the Word of God.
Amen.
And so the scripture tells us that we have to keep in mind that, you know, Jesus is asking us to pray for this word. You know, every day, sometimes I send out a word of encouragement to people as the Lord would lead me to. And so I have found out that as I send these words of encouragement out, they've been a blessing to people.
Amen,
and
amen.
In 2019, when the pandemic came, and, you know, I'm used to traveling and moving around, and so I wasn't able to get around, and I heard the Holy Spirit. I said, God, how am I going to get the word to people? I can't get out. I can't be among people. And the Holy Spirit said that you have the computers, you have your phone, you have all kinds of WhatsApps and programs that are in place. And so the word has no limit. It has no global limit that it cannot reach. So you have to take those phones, those tools, those apps, and you have to apply them, and you have to get the word out. And so as I began, I also went through this point where I had lost my phone. And when I lost my phone, you know, when you lose your phone, sometimes trying to restore it back, you lose the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I made a mistake, and I lost the number of a couple of people that was in my phone. And so one lady called me, and she said to me, what is the problem? Did I offend you? And I was like, ma'am, you and I don't have a relationship in that kind of way that I would be offended by you. So why do you feel like you have offended me? She said, because you were sending me words of encouragement and you stopped. And I said to her, oh, well, I'm glad you called me because I lost my phone, the numbers of my phone. And she said to me, she said, because those words were encouraging to me.
Amen.
And I needed to hear from God every day. She ended up telling me that she had pancreatic cancer. And she said because she had pancreatic cancer, the doctor had given her 6 months to live.
Mm.
But when she received the word of God for me, then what happened was it gave her the strength to fight.
Yes.
She was going to give up, and she said she was going to say, well, I'm going to heaven anyway. But then when she got the word, she knew it was a sign from heaven saying, yes, you're coming to be with me, but right now I want you to fight. Right now I want you to get in a battle. Right now I want you to draw from my word. So, you see, had she not told me that and had she not called me, I would have not continued to sin because I didn't realize, you know, it was that important to her. I know it's important to me, but I didn't know it was that important to her. And so as a result, that's what God is trying to show us,
Amen.
That the word of God is more necessary than our natural food.
Yes.
And so we have to have something to draw strength from. We have to have something that will coat our minds from the fears and the wiles of the enemy. We have to have something to protect our flesh.
Yes.
When enemy tries to come against us and put names of different diseases and things on our body, we have to have some strength, some word to be able. You know, this is what I like about Jesus. When he was fighting the devil, And the devil came to tempt him when he was in the wilderness fasting. You know, the devil told him, well, I'll turn these stones into bread if you would just obey me and do what I wanted. But I like what Jesus said. He didn't say, oh, hey, dude, somebody down the street just tried that. Don't even try it. He didn't say that. Hey, dude, the church down the street tried that with me, but that didn't work. But you know what he said to the enemy? He said, it is written.
Yes.
And so that's what we have to be able to pronounce, what is written. I mean, our testimonies are good, and they are good for us that we can remember what the Lord has done. But we have more substance,
yes,
when we can quote, it is written.
That's right.
And when we're able to speak back to the enemy what the word says, the Bible says that the enemy flees. He couldn't try that trick anymore because Jesus said to him, it is written.
Amen.
And so I believe as a believer that we have to begin to cast our cares on us. And like a good shepherd, God cares for us.
Yes.
He cares for his sheep. He provides for his sheep. And the provisions that he's made for his sheep is nourishment through the word of God. And so when we read that word every day, when we stay in the presence of God every day, we start reading every day, guess what's going to happen? God will begin to speak.
Yes.
And not only will he speak through his word, but just like when you digest your food and get it inside of you and it goes into your belly, sometimes some natural things happen. Some people burp. Some people said, ah, that was great. Ah, I would like to have that again. Ah, you know, we digest it. Or we put on weight. Or other things happen to us, you know, when we begin to take on the word. And so that's what happens when we begin to take on the word. And guess what? It not only speaks to us, but then God begins to speak through us. And so what he says to us, and as we begin to digest it and make it a part of our situation, our encounters every day, we are now in turn able to speak to the word. Again, I've had many people who have said to me, Pastor, sometimes the word I've gotten from you, it has been so good that 50 other people I passed it on, and man, it was such a blessing to them, and it was such a strength, it was such a nourishment to them. And so they begin to draw from the daily substance, the daily strength, the daily nourishment that you are getting from. And so as Christians, we have to understand there's a lot of weak Christians and a lot of tired Christians. And God wants us in this season to be able to stay into the word so that we'll have something to speak into nations. We see what's going on around the world. It's no point in getting emotional. It's no point in arguing back and forth and making it political about what our government is not doing and what they're not doing. But as a believer, your responsibility is to get into the word and call those things as though they are, that are written. Speak according to what the scriptures have said.
Amen.
And begin to declare it over the nation. Begin to declare it over the world. That's the kind of God that your word is like a missile, and it can go into the atmosphere, and it can counteract any kind of other terrorism or anything that goes on in the world because of your word, the Christian, the word of the believer. But if you're weak and you're tired and you aren't getting that daily bread and that daily word from the Lord, guess what? Then you're going to be weak. And the months and the weeks to come, you know, you're going to go without eating and you're going to go without nourishment. You're going to go without proper nutrients. And so what's going to happen? You're just going to fall by the wayside. Oppression, depression, all kinds of other spirits begin to enter in. Why? Because we cannot speak what is written. We cannot speak what the Word of God says to us. You know, so when you start reading the Bible every day, as I was saying earlier, God begins to speak to you.
Amen.
He encourages you. He prepares you for situations.
Yes, yes,
he
yes.
prepares you for encounters each day. You know, some people, like my friend I was telling you about, who's sick. The doctor told her she was only going to live for 6 months. So she was very discouraged because after 6 months period, when the doctor said she was only going to live, that's when the Lord started sending a word to her.
Yes.
And when the Lord started sending this word, that's when she said, wait a minute, I've got to fight because I've got something to fight with. And so when you start getting your daily portion, you're going to be able to encounter those things and counteract those things. You're going to be like the Sun missile to be able to stop those things from coming nigh your dwelling. And so what God does, he cares for us like a shepherd cares for the sheep.
Yes.
He provides nutrients for us. We need it to actually build us up, you know. And as I was saying earlier, as we begin to read the Word and as we go through the Word and we go through what God says the Word says about us, not only do we get strength, but we get joy. And, you know, they said the joy of the Lord, that's what the Word says. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what he said. And so that's what God wants you to remember. He wants you to remember that when you're getting the Word, that's what's going to give you the strength. You see, Psalms put it this way. It says the Lord, Psalm 16, verse 5 through 8. It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Thy lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Listen to that. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a good heritage. I will do what? Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Why? Because he's at the right hand and I shall not be moved. Because I indulge in God. Because I put my trust in the Lord. I may not understand everything, but I trust in his word. And I put his word first. The enemy cannot toss me through and fro. He cannot just do what he wants to do in my family, in my house, over my mind. He cannot do it. My soul is not trapped. Why? Because I am entrusted in the word of God.
Amen.
You know, I had a dream. I was just in Germany not so long ago. And when I was in Germany, I had this dream. And I had the dream that I saw in a jar, it was three images. And it was the image, what appeared to be the mind, the soul, and the spirit. And they were trapped inside of a jar with a tight lid. And so what the enemy is trying to do, he's trying to destroy the anointing on your life. See, because he realizes if you do not have any words, you do not have any anointing. He realizes that if you do not have any word, you have no strength. So he's after your strength because with no strength, there is no anointing. So he keeps you being tired, bogged down with all kinds of other craziness, your family, you know, somebody done somebody wrong song. You know, what people did to me. You know, he keeps you bogged down because he's after the anointing. He's after your strength. So he tries to zap your strength through financial issues, through marital issues, through boyfriend, girlfriend issues, through job issues, and young people through peer pressures. We got all kinds of different spirits and different genders and all kinds of things going on in the world. And so as our young people, we don't know what's what and what we should be a part of and what we shouldn't be a part of. So you have a lot of peer pressure that the enemy wants to zap your strength. Why? Because you're not partaking of your daily portion. You're not partaking of the word of God. Isaiah 37:3 says, this is what Isaiah said. He said, today is a day of trouble. It's a day of insult. It's a day of disgrace. It is like when a child is ready to be born, but the mother has no strength to deliver the baby. And so, you see, we are in a strengthless society. We begin to forget that we, as believers, we live under divine assignment. And so as a believer, I live under supernatural appointment. As a believer, my focus should be on my Father and not on the circumstances around me. Because guess what? I live, you live, under the watchful eye of the Father.
Yes.
The scripture says the eyes of the Lord run back, forth, through and fro, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him.
Hallelujah.
That's you. That's me.
Yes.
That's the believer. That's he who loves God. God's watchful eye is on you. But you have to be able to be encouraged by that. You have to be confident by that, by daily communing and spending time with them. He said, herein you have done foolishly, because if you do not put your eyes on the Lord, if you do not have the confidence, and you shall not, you don't have the confidence that God's eye is on you, that your relationship is strong with God, then guess what begins to happen? The scripture says, you now begin to have wars. Where's the wars? In your members, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit. The enemy begins to war and pull at you, and he begins to fight battle with you, and he's fighting with a strengthless life. And so guess what? He's winning because you have nothing to fight back. But if you remember that the eyes of the Lord, and what I'm trying to do is encourage you as a believer to tell you, you do not have to be taken down. You do not have to be overtaken by the enemy. Why? Because the Lord just told us his eyes are on us.
Yeah.
Not only is the Lord's eyes on us, but Psalms 91 tells us that he gives his angels charge over thee. See, there are ministering angels that have been assigned to you, and they're just waiting on you to call out to them.
Amen.
The Bible says that they're ministering angels, and they have been assigned to go on your behalf and to bring back what belongs to you. So now you've just got to open your mouth and release them to go on assignment and go get what belongs to you and bring it back. And how do we get to know that? By reading the word of God.
Amen.
And taking in our hearts what the word says. Psalms 91:11 says, he will give his angels charge over thee.
Yes.
So if the angels is charge over me, then guess what? I can speak to them. Because remember, we are like God. We're like the nature of God. He said in... he made us in the image of ourselves, and the angels are lower than us. So we get to speak to them, and we get to put them on assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not all the angels ministering spirits sent out by God to do what? Serve, accompany, protect those who will inherit salvation. Of course they are. I like it. He gets a little sarcastic. Of course they are. Back in my city, couple of years back, on our news, they had angel sightings. They were showing us in the sky these different angels. And they were showing us that how these angels were sitting there in the sky. Then the news was actually capturing in the clouds images of what appeared to be like angels. And they were showing us there was this one. He was very huge with a gold crown on his head and a scepter in his hand and a gold-like body. And they were angels with different colors. And there were also angels just sitting there like they were just going back and forth, waiting for someone to call on them to dispatch them to their assignment, that they can do what God has put them in place to do and take your petition and bring back your blessing. And here the news has captured this live on the news. They were just sitting there like they're twiddling their thumbs saying, "Ah, when are they going to call on me? Ah, when are they going to use their prophetic voices? When are they going to use the authority that I have given them in the word?" You know, and so as the world system around us continue to move further from godliness to ungodliness, we, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, we're being rise up to a new strength, a new power, a new anointing. This is a now season for us. And so guess what? You don't have to wait till God creates a door for you. You have to create the door.
Yes.
And God says, if you create the door, I will bless you to go through the door.
Yeah.
I'll meet you in the door, and I'll take you into the purpose that I have designed for you. You know, he said, your strength has been renewed. Your borders are being secured. And so God wants us to understand that he's doing something fresh. Don't hold on to the old thing, but do something new. You know, the scripture says the lines have been drawn. The scripture said when we first read the scripture, it says the lines have been drawn. What is he saying? And the Lord is saying to the church in this season, you've got to make a choice. Mediocrity is not going to do. You've got to either be red hot or red hot. There's no lukewarm.
Amen.
There's no standing by the wayside. God is saying to you, you've got to be an overcomer. You've got to be willing to move forward. And he's trying to give peace to your soul. What does that mean? That means your spirit, your body, your finances, your physical circumstances. What is he trying to do? Lead you into the pleasant place. How are we going to get into the pleasant place? By our daily word, by our daily provision. Just like we need McDonald's every day. I don't know about you, but I don't like McDonald's every day. But however, some people do. You ask your teenage daughter or your teenage son, they'll say, yeah, we like McDonald's. I know American kids do. I don't know what Amsterdam is like. But God is trying to say, if you can get that nourishment, I'm going to lead you into the pleasant places. I am your shield and your strong tower. You can abide and live in a place of safety at all times because it is according to your faith. You got to be whole, be healthy, be full of strength. We're not able to serve people because we're unhealthy. We're unhealthy spiritually. And it makes people, we go to church from church to church to church looking for the right word. But I'm here to encourage you today. The right word is not from church to church. The right word is not from place to place. But the right word is dead smack in the middle of the word of God. It is the anointing that abides. It's the anointing that instructs you. It is the anointing that catches you on fire. And the word describes you in the same scripture as we read earlier. It says he described God as his cup. What is a cup? The one who holds me all together. See, God's looking to hold you all together. I don't know about you, but I can't always keep it together. I don't always do good and always having the right answers. But guess what? He gives me confidence through the word that even though I don't have the right answer, he who abides in me, he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, I'm going to dwell in the secret place. I'm going to dwell there because I'm constantly abiding. So abiding gives you confidence. Abiding gives you strength. And one last scripture I want to give you. It says in Psalms 29:11, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. See, the strength is to stay the course. Why do you need strength? To stay the course. The power of peace is to accelerate you beyond your scope. It causes you to reach and maintain your composure. In other words, God doesn't want you to be like a pressure cooker, always blowing your steam. Come on now. Amen. You know it's easy for us to lose it sometimes because sometimes people catch us off guard. Sometimes it's not a good day. And boy, if you take the lid off of that pressure cooker without releasing their steam, wow-wee. But when we have the word of God, this lady was telling me on Saturday, she wrote me this long story, and she was telling me how she went to the Walmart to go witness. And before she could get out of her car, this couple came along beside her, swung the door open, and dent her car door. And instead of acknowledging it, when she got out the car to bring it to their attention, they tried to drive off. And she said, no, no. And then the lady jumped out the car from the passenger who did wrong and started cursing at her and calling her all kinds of foul names. She said she didn't flinch. She didn't get upset. She told her all kinds of, you know, bad names that she was. And the woman of God says, and she told the girl, but I love you. And she said the girl looked at her, and she said she began to witness to them and tell them, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Wow-wee. I said, girl, you witnessed already. You don't even need to go witness. That was the great witness. And so this is what I'm saying. When we have the word of God, we don't have to act like a pressure cooker. We can operate in peace. We'll be able to articulate the word of God, the strength of God, the mind of God. Why? Because the kingdom is your inheritance. Let me just encourage you. God wants you to daily take in his word and daily get the nourishment and provision. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you, Father, yes, for God. Your word. Because yes, your God. Word, Father, is bread yes, that God. Feeds and sustains us. I thank you, Father, daily God. You bring nourishment to the city and to the people of Amsterdam, God, and those other nations that are listening. Father, speak your word today. Speak clearly, oh God, because we need a word from you that we might do the will of the Lord, that yes. we may have peace and that we may have strength to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I received the word. It was so powerful. And I thank God for you.
Amen.
And I thank God for his word. In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Yes.
Amen.
It's true what you just say. And God wants us to be strong. And the text that you read from Psalm 29 verse 11 is also so powerful. In Dutch, de Heere zal zijn volk sterkte verlenen. De Heere zal zijn volk zegenen met vrede. With peace. And that's what we need. Amen. The peace of God. Yeah. Praise God. Well, we hope to hear you soon again.
Yes, sir.
And also your husband, because I know both of you are preaching.
Yeah, I think he's going to come on one day this week.
Okay, that's fine.
Day.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, but he's going to come.
Okay, that's fine. Well, thank you once again.
God bless you, sir.
Yeah.
I love you, Amsterdam.
Amen. Okay, then. Maybe tomorrow.
Hey, God bless.
Maybe we hear you tomorrow. Maybe. I'm going to call again.
Okay, God bless.
God bless. Yeah, bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, and that was Pastor Darlene rechtstreeks van Amerika. We kennen deze mensen al jaren. En ik weet ook nog dat wij bij haar in de gemeente was, waren ook een paar mensen van andere gemeenten meegenomen. Die wouden mee. Dus die gingen met ons mee, want er was een conferentie daar, een driedaagse conferentie. Waar Bishop N had gesproken, een vrouwelijke bishop. En ik weet nog, ze had helemaal wit aan. En deze vrouw predikte daar vrijdag, zaterdag en zondag. Maar op die zondag, want al die dagen heb ik gefilmd. Op die zondag werden we naar voren geroepen. Eerst een voorganger uit Italië. En hij ging naar voren om de gemeente te begroeten. De gemeente van haar was in Mannheim, Duitsland. En toen hij klaar was te spreken, toen werden we naar voren geroepen. Eerst riep ze mij naar voren. Pastor Wilfred, kom naar voren. Dus ik ging naar voren. En ik moest de gemeente groeten, dus ik deed dat. Maar toen zei ik ook tegen de gemeente van, we zijn bezig met een radiostudio. En we ontbreken nog één apparaat. Maar eigenlijk waren het eigenlijk nog, even kijken. Ik denk dat het de versterker en de tuner was. En de limiter die we nog nodig hadden. Maar die waren niet zo duur. Ik had het meer over de duurste die we nog nodig hadden. En toen zei ze, nou even stop. Nee, ik zei van, ja mensen, dus dat hebben we nog nodig om de uitzending te beginnen. En ik zei het in het Engels. Maar ik heb ook dit gezegd. Ik zeg, luister even. Mijn Engels is niet zo perfect als van u. Maar ik bid dat de Heilige Geest u zal openbaren waarover ik gesproken heb. Man, de mensen gingen staan in de gemeente, prijs God. En toen kwam pastor Darlene en die zei van, pastor Wilfred, wat kost dat apparaat? Ik zei tegen haar wat de prijs was. Het was 8000 zoveel. En eigenlijk waren er twee apparaten, want eentje moest bij mij zijn thuis in de studio en die andere moest bij Salto zijn. Dus samen kwamen we op iets van 8000 zoveel. Toen zei ze, hoeveel is dat toen de tijd? Ik zei, nou, ik denk 3000, 3500 dollar. Ze nam de mic en ze sprak tot de gemeente. Ze zegt, broers en zusters, jullie hebben gehoord wat pastor gevraagd heeft. Hij vraagt geen geld voor zichzelf. Hij vraagt geld om die apparaten aan te schaffen, zodat hij met de radio-uitzending kan beginnen in Amsterdam. En toen zei ze van, roep uw vrouw naar voren en ga voor het altaar staan. Dus beneden bij het altaar. Ik ging daar met mevrouw. We stonden daar en toen zei ze van, mensen, jullie kunnen komen. En daar stonden we. Kom en zet het geld aan hun voeten neer. En dan keek ze me nog een keertje aan en ze zei van, pastor Wilfred, als we niet al het geld vandaag binnen hebben, wij zorgen ervoor dat alles binnenkomt. Nou, we stonden daar, mijn vrouw en ik. Volwassen mensen kwamen. Maar ik zag ook kinderen komen. Die brachten geld. En toen de dienst afgelopen was, toen zei ze tegen mij van, dat Bishop N tot haar gesproken had van, maar pastor Darlene, in jouw gemeente heb je ook zelf geld nodig. En pastor Darlene zei tegen me wat ze aan pastor Bishop N gezet had. Ze zei, Bishop N, geef het aan pastor Wilfred. Prachtig is dat, hè? Geef het aan pastor Wilfred. Nou, we zijn ergens lekker gaan fellowshipen. En daarna zijn we teruggegaan naar Amsterdam. Het heeft niet lang geduurd. Of eigenlijk was het zo dat ik dus Bishop N en haar man ook af en toe in de uitzending had, toen we nog daar op het Rembrandtsplein waren. En zij hadden ook gesproken. Maar op een gegeven moment, toen zij sprak, zei ze van, Pastor Wilfred, heb je dat geld al binnen? Of heb je die check al binnen? Check? Ik zeg, nee, ik heb geen check binnengekregen hoor. Ze zei, luister even. Wanneer we straks hebben neergelegd, moet u bellen met die andere in Duitsland. Want ik heb een check gestuurd voor je. Oké. Okay. Ik heb ze gebeld. Ik kreeg pastor Robert aan de lijn. Hij zegt, ja hoor, we hebben een check hier. Maar wat moet ik ermee doen, zei hij. Ik zei, pastor, luister even. Ga, wissel het en ik kom met mevrouw daar. We zijn er naartoe gereden. Iets van 5 uurtjes. En we komen daar aan in Mannheim. En pastor Darlene die komt naar ons toe en die zei van... Pastor Wilfred, Bishop Annie zegt, ik moet u het geld in de kerk geven. Ik zei, ja, nou, dan gaan we terug naar Amsterdam. Want toen ik met die man sprak, was ze er niet bij. Dus... Maar goed, we zijn terug naar Amsterdam gegaan. Ik zei, oké, we gaan naar Amsterdam, maar dan gaat u prediken. En na de prediking, dan hoor ik het wel. En dat is gebeurd. We hebben alles opgenomen. Banden hebben we nog steeds. En ze heeft het woord gebracht in Amsterdam. En toen ze klaar was, zei ze tot de gemeente... Gemeente, hier heb ik een envelop met $3000. Geef ik nu aan pastor Wilfred om dat apparaat aan te schaffen. En dat is gebeurd. Prijs God. Zoals wij dus het profetisch woord kregen in Ramstein. En dat moet zijn in 2000. Jaar 2000 kregen we dat. Ja, in jaar 2000 kregen we het profetisch woord. En dat is ook exact gebeurd. Het zijn... onze vrienden die ons gesteund hebben met het geld. We hebben geld gekregen van 2 bishops en van een paar anderen om deze spullen te kopen. Grotendeels hebben we van 1 bishop gehad om toch de mengtafel, cd's, spelers en cassettespelers te kopen. 1 cd-speler zat al op 2500. Maar goed, dus dat is toen gebeurd. Maar die andere apparaten hebben we dan van Bishop N gehad. Maar Bishop N leeft niet meer. Het is een vrouw die bishop is geweest van een snel groeiende kerk. In Georgia moet het zijn geweest. Ze had ook een eigen vliegtuig. Want ze vloog ook naar die andere staten om het woord te brengen in de kerken die daar waren. Maar goed, lieve mensen, we gaan u groeten. En zo de Heer wil, zijn we morgen weer in de lucht. Luister even, de tijd is van 12.